Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you today.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
So we're going to talk today about things that we've talked about in the past to some degree. Something about the virus and something about the strategy of our one of our governors in this country and what the plans are. And a little bit about Biden. And the governor of Florida has some plans, but his plans don't coincide with the president's plan.
Yeah.
The president has this idea that governments have done so well, you know, destroying somebody like Assange, that this whole thing about spying on people should be in the domain of the government.
Yeah.
So they're looking for loyal corporatists. You know, the Facebook people, any other corporation, any other private organization, that their job or part of their job is to knowing a lot about a lot of people. And he wants to incorporate them. He wants to hire them out as spies.
Yeah.
But the real irony is that it's illegal for the government to do it. They say, oh, you can't use the FBI. That's against the law. We don't want to do it. So we're going to do this. But then even the concept of, well, they can't use the FBI is a farce, too, because I understand the FBI does a little bit of illegal spying, too. So more and more people now, I remember 20, 30 years ago, if I brought up the subject that we don't need the CIA or the FBI, it was heresy, total heresy.
Yeah.
But we have more people now thinking about it because both left and right have been on the receiving end of some bad things that, you know, our FBI has done. So he's going to hire them out, pay money for them to spy, and yet that's what they spent so much time on. How much money does our government spend on surveillance?
And
it's been going on. My first concerns were in the 1970s when it was the financial laws that were being passed to know everything about finance. And I said, this is the beginning of the end. And they still have a ways to go there because they're wondering how to make sure that once the markets break down, how they're going to know who has the gold and who has the crypto.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, they're going to hire out everybody, and people keep joining the crowd and get along. There's a lot of pressure put on the business people that they don't want to be exposed, and they don't want to be censored, and they don't want to be canceled, and they still might want to be in the system because they might need credit and a lot of other things. So there's pressure on them. So they're going to get the assistance there. I don't think there's any question about that. But the big question, would the American people ever wake up and say, enough is enough? They shouldn't be spying on the American people. The purpose of the government is to protect us against the evildoers, protect us, our Fourth Amendment. But that's not the case right now. It's protecting the government and protecting the power monger, protecting the military industrial complex. So things have been turned on its head. But in spite of it all, there are people out there thinking more like we think, and that is that we're way too much. We need more people standing up in opposition to the government, and our numbers, I believe, are much greater than anybody realizes. So we'll keep encouraging the people to speak up for liberty.
Well, this was reported on CNN, and for once, I really hope it is fake news, because CNN is very good at doing fake news. I suspect it's not, though. Department of Homeland Security, they admit, oh, we failed to see the January 6th insurrection. As Biden called it, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. We failed to see it. And, you know, in Washington, Dr. Paul, you know very well, there ain't no success like failure. And failure is no success at all, as Dylan said. Failure leads you to have your budgets increased. So the Department of Homeland Security, and I remember back a few years ago when they were debating the Department of Homeland Security, and there was a congressman from Texas saying, if you guys aren't careful, this is going to start being used to spy on Americans. And they said, oh, Ron Paul, you conspiracy theorist. Remember how they sold it? No, you don't get it, Ron. This is to streamline the existing government agencies. It's going to be smaller and more efficient. Well, that's not what it turned out to be, because what they want to do is not only the ability to hire outside firms to spy on Americans because they claim, well, it's illegal, we can't do it, as if they hadn't been doing it. Nobody's, have we forgotten Snowden already? They don't want to only do that, though, Dr. Paul. They want to assume fake identities and infiltrate groups, infiltrate Facebook groups, pretend, hey, I'm your best buddy, I'm a fellow conservative. And you might say, well, these are extremist groups. This is dangerous. They want to blow things up. Well, as we know from a Department of Homeland Security report just a few years ago, they consider libertarians and Ron Paul supporters as potential domestic terrorists. So this is opening the door. Two things. A, they're already doing it. But B, it's opening the door to doing it more in public and in a much more nefarious way.
This argument that they give us is that they want to be more efficient. Well, who said we need them to be more efficient? That might be one of the saving grace, is because they're totally inefficient, except when they want to do harm, and they're not protecting us for sure. They're totally inefficient, and yet that is the goal, and the people want to be safe and they want to be secure, all a reflection of the ongoing propaganda and the teachings in our colleges for years and years, because people accept this. But we don't need more efficiency in spying on people, you know, and there's going to be more and more. It's because I talk all the time about economic system crashing down, and there's going to be chaos, and there's going to be a lot of problems. So they're going to expand rather than contract. So it's good when we see some people standing up to it and saying, you know, we need to stand up to the federal government. Maybe the local people will do it. But of course, all the local arrangement all depends on who's running the local stuff, you know. But anyway, I think this. I don't think there's anything magic about local as much as size. Yeah. I think the bigger the government is that we have to deal with, the more difficult it is. The smaller the units of government and closer to home, I think we have a little better chance. But ultimately, it's what the people believe. If they think that they want the government to take care of them, we have a bigger job.
The danger of this also is that organizations that are well connected to government but may have a grudge against organizations. And let's actually put up this first clip, because this is, I think, was a tweet pulled out of the article that explained it. Imagine ADL, the Southern Poverty Leadership Council, Bellingcat, Atlantic Council, Antifa, etc., all to get nice fat government contracts to spy on you Americans online. If you think about that, you know, we've written a lot about the Atlantic Council. It's funded by foreign governments. It's funded by the military-industrial complex. And they're behind the Russiagate hysteria, which, of course, was all fake. We've written a lot about them. What if someone pays Antifa to pretend like they're, you know, part of our group, part of the Libertarian group, part of the Ron Paul group, and it turns out they're there to do nothing but spy on us? You know, the danger, again, is it pits Americans against Americans. But here's the sad part. The first thing I thought of when I saw this is, unfortunately, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, but my guess is that Republicans and conservatives aren't going to say, this is insane, you cannot do it, shut down the Department of Homeland Security, this is unbelievable. They're going to say, well, that's not fair, you've got to spy on the left wing too, not just the right wing. You know, that's unfortunately their response has always been, that's not fair, you got to do it to both sides. So I'm not very optimistic, Dr. Paul. Maybe I'm wrong that the conservatives will oppose this on principle, you know, which is that this is government overreach.
But I don't think Biden's going to consider bipartisanship in this. He's going to spy on the people he's already singled out. Biden singles out white supremacist terrorism. So those are loaded words.
Yeah,
He's immediately doing it through racism, and he's immediately assuming he'll define terrorism.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, I think when people open up an envelope and it's coming from the IRS, that's about the closest thing for American citizen to feel terrorized.
Tell me about
but
it.
There is a lot of terrorism that goes along. But the attack should be, and the problem should be looking at violence and aggression. The people who rob, steal, and kill, that is the issue. But this whole thing of social reforms and fairness and balances and all this social stuff that goes on, that's what's open in it. It's psychological. And unfortunately, I think most of what's going on today in the reform movement of why we have to have a new system is based on race. And I don't think they care about race. I think they use race. I think the people who are said to be the beneficiaries of what they want to do aren't really. They're just the guinea pigs. You could argue they're the guinea pigs for lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, and that's across the board. But I think there's a lot to be learned about you know, who did what, and we should cone in on violence. When you look at what happened last summer, I mean, how many times did we have another city blowing up?
Yeah.
And buildings blasted, windows broken, stuff stolen, and the policemen standing there waving their hands. You know, they talk about violence of the policemen. Well, the policemen didn't do anything because they were on the side of some of the rioters.
Yeah.
And so it just continues to go on. So it's that system of violence. And it was pretty ironic when you see the cities burning down, windows being broken, stuff being stolen, the police capitulating. And then you have one couple in St. Louis decide, yeah, well, they're not coming into my house, and they have a couple little pistols there, yeah, and they're trying to restrain the mob. Fortunately, nothing bad came of this, except for the people who said, stay off my property, yeah, you don't have a right to come here, and they're still in trouble.
Who knows,
they may end up in prison a long time before the people who burned those cities down.
Yeah, that's for sure. The thing about this, and we'll close on this, but you know, one of the things that this absolutely requires is to continue the myth of January the 6th, the myth that this was a great insurrection. Nobody was killed except a Trump supporter who was unarmed, and that they decided would not be investigated. As far as insurrections go, if that's indeed what it was, it's pretty thin. I just think someday somebody is going to ask some tough questions of the then leadership of the Senate and the House, including Pelosi and McConnell, saying, what really happened? Why didn't you permit the National Guard to come and prevent this from happening? Why were the police standing by, seemingly letting people go in? Maybe someday that'll happen. But let's move on to something a little bit more positive, which is Ron DeSantis, who's these days at least always you know, bringing us good news. Let's put up this clip just to show. Here he is and his wife. He takes vaccine passport ban a step further as he signs a bill into law. He halts all COVID-19 restrictions. And you mentioned this, we'll talk about it a little bit, because Bob Wenzel has an interesting view, and we'll bring it up. But just about what he said local entities, county entities, private entities, you cannot discriminate against people for vaccine. And here's what he said, and I like the fact that he framed it, in my opinion, in kind of a privacy, medical privacy perspective. He said, you have a right to participate in society, go to a restaurant, a movie, a ball game, all these things, without having to divulge this type of information, he said, and meaning the fact of whether or not you've had a passport.
Right. You know, and I think the move here is very good and very positive, and it's in the center, essentially, of the country, and yet you have California and New York in shambles. But the good news there is that people have sort of caught on to it.
Yeah.
They're starting to, they're not all of a sudden freedom lovers, but they're seeing that if you don't stand up for some basic principles, the economy, the state can go into shambles, and that's what's happened. People for pragmatic, and there is, see, that's one of the reasons you should be for liberty, because there is I like the moral issue defense of it, and let things work out because they do, but it's also pragmatic, and that is where you have much more chance of peace and prosperity. So there's no peace and prosperity. I guess a few people, it must drive the liberals nuts that Texas got an additional congressional seat and more people in Electoral College. So and also, you know, Florida is doing well. I mean, a lot of people know who DeSantis is now, and that is very good. So that's a positive step, and that's waking the people up. And he's reflecting. See, if he were governor of California, DeSantis, he couldn't do this because the consensus is still crazy.
Yeah.
Of course, and it's going to get worse percentage-wise because the good people are leaving.
Yeah.
You know, they're moving into Florida. If they can't get a DeSantis to be their governor, they'll have to come to Florida and come to Texas and try to escape from some of that nonsense.
And people are doing that. You know, the in-migration to Florida and Texas is huge. But, you know, when we talked about Bob Wenzel, and he makes an interesting point. He says, you know, it's not always the case that the more local and smaller the government, the better when you look at liberty. And it's pretty controversial because we've always viewed the idea that, hey, you can go to your city council a heck of a lot easier than you can go debate the UN or something. You know, it's much closer. But in this case, his point is if governments do exist, I'm always going to be the supporter of the government that is the least repressive. In the case of Florida, it's the government of DeSantis, not the mayor's. And he says, I always want the least oppressive people in charge when there is only a government option to begin with. So it's an interesting point.
You know, and it's a good point to make because things have changed here in this last year or so. It almost looks like this desire by local official, the mayors and the county commissioners and the judges and all, they never had this much authority.
Yeah.
They didn't know that they could do what presidents do all the time. They just write executive orders.
Yeah.
And you have an executive branch of government that writes all the laws. You have Supreme Courts that write all kinds of laws. And all of a sudden, these local people are feeling their oats
that
they can do this too. And they have taken advantage of it. But no, I think the bottom line always is, I think Bob makes the point, what they believe in. So if a governor believes in it, and he's going to curtail, and matter of fact, DeSantis addresses that, because what he changed was all the local bad stuff, you know, and that is good. But then the other argument is worth thinking about under more ordinary times is that if government is smaller and closer to home, there's a better chance that you can go to a town hall meeting and get the city council fired, or something like that.
Yeah.
And that to me is a big advantage. But if you have to go to the United Nations, that's difficult. But we have a bigger problem than that, and that is discovering who it is and identify who the deep state is, who's really pulling the strings, and who has total control of the finances. That's where the real power is, because I think what's going on right now is there is some of this very, very subtle financial power that can coerce business people into going along with the system because, they can lose their access to credit and they are so dependent. They've sold out already, but they lack their independence and they have to go along or they're out of business. Well, it looks like some of them are going out of business anyway.
Yeah.
And lockdown, a lot of them went out of business. So that's why understanding and promoting a precise principle and getting the majority of people to understand what it is to go along with it rather than saying whatever I need to do. Like, what are people saying now about the vaccine?
Yeah,
I don't want the vaccine. I don't want it. It's terrible. Except he says, but I have a job.
Yeah.
And you can't just totally ignore him. We had stories we were told here in the program of single mothers trying to take in care of their children, and they're out and standing up for what they believe in. They're afraid they'll lose their job. So it is, it's blackmail is what it is that they do. But it's still, people have to do what they have to do.
You know, I was just corresponding with a friend of mine who was in misery because he has a dream job, and he was told by his boss, if you don't take the vaccine, you will lose your dream job. And he's got a family to deal with. He's got a family to take care of. And talk about a horrible situation. You know, it's easy for someone who doesn't have that terrible situation to say, hey, don't take it, don't do it, don't do it. It's not always that simple, you know.
And I keep asking the question, when does that type of threat become aggression?
Yeah.
It depends on how much power that individual have and how much he has overthrown us, but then there comes the conflict is, is he really truly a private person?
Yeah.
Or is he an agent of this conspiracy to promote cultural Marxism?
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference there, but there's a point when they can do this to people. They can bankrupt people, destroy their jobs, and throw people out in the street and have their kids, get kicked out of school for no reason. This has to be I sorted out some way, because I think they're aggressive acts. We should talk more about it.
Well, at the risk of sinking further into despair, the next story we want to talk a little bit about is pretty is pretty bad. And we can actually put this up. I think we saw this on The Blaze. Sonny Hostin of The View declares, quote, "We need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated, specifically white evangelicals and Republicans." It's amazing, you know, there's always those what ifs. What if it was a white person who said you need to shun black folks who don't want to get the jab? And African Americans have got a lot of reason to be skeptical about the government saying, hey, we got a needle, we're going to be here to help you. But this is...
Well, the simple argument, I was on The View a couple times in the past, and I tried this argument partially successfully. But the argument against them is, what do you have against pro-choice?
Yeah.
You know, they're always talking about pro-choice, pro-choice. Never, if they want to deal with that, they have to decide, does a fetus have legal rights? Is it a live person that has legal rights and deserves protection? That's not the issue.
Yeah.
It's the pro-choice. Well, yes, that's what we're arguing for. I think we should use that argument more times because they're not for, are they for pro-choice? For those people defending their house from hoodlums with a little pistol? Where's the pro-choice, especially when the protection is in the Constitution?
Yeah.
So I would say that pro-choice is a pretty good idea, but you have to redefine what the argument is on the abortion issue, because the issue is not pro-choice or pro-abortion. The issue is there a life there that deserves legal protection?
And people like Sonny Hostin, and she just represents a lot of people who are saying the same things. I mean, this is really getting shockingly close to Hitlerian, you know.
Right.
You single out people because of their race and their religion, which is what Hitler did, and say they need to be shunned. Next thing you know, they need to go get into a boxcar or something. You know, it seems extreme, but I never thought we would see something like this in open society. They talk about people who need to be canceled. She needs to be canceled.
but she's on the side that's doing the canceling now.
She's on the side doing the canceling.
That's a big problem.
So we'll keep an eye on
that. But no, we were not surprised at what we heard there. And now that I've given my side of the story, I'm sure they will reconsider their position.
I think she's on the phone now trying to apologize to us.
Okay, we're going to go on to the next item.
Yeah.
Okay. This one I picked up because I think it's glossed over. I think there's something serious. Sometimes this information is distorted because of the emotions involved. But this came from the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs. And the headline is, the statistic shows from them, black-on-black homicide, a political perspective. That's what it's all about. And what they're saying is that there were 7 to 8 times more black on black murders.
Huh.
More than white people.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people who say, well, yeah, that's because they've been mistreatment and social. And of course, to me, excuse me, it's a moral issue anyway, and it's an act of violence, and you have to draw the line. But if we do that, there's that much more. How do you say this without getting painted?
Yeah.
You know, these are statistics. Then they'll come back and they'll say, well, there's an excuse.
Yeah.
They're victims. They're reacting to their victimhood, and that's why they do these things. But a libertarian looks at it and tries to draw a sharp line. When the act of violence is carried out, it's the person who initiated the act of violence. And sometimes it gets fuzzy in there, but it's still an important issue. But I just really get turned off and annoyed about political conversation, elections, and the whole thing. Everything is race.
Yeah.
And being in Washington, you know, it's how many caucuses are? Well, there's a bunch, but some get more attention than others. You immediately do that. And election night bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it's election night. Well, how did the blacks vote?
Yeah,
how did the Hispanics vote? How did the white people vote? How did the libertarians vote? Everybody knows how the libertarians vote. You know, so it's one of those things that everything is dealt in race, and I am absolutely convinced it's used in making race and the people involved the guinea pigs, yeah. Because I just do not have confidence that I should be very tolerant and say that the people who are doing all these nasty things and destroying the middle class and doing so many dumb things, are they that dumb that they do this you know, pretending to do the right thing, and yet I think it's mainly because they see them in groups. I think the important thing for people to remember, rights don't come in groups. There's no such things as gay rights and women's rights and all this stuff. You have individual rights, but that's heresy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's libertarian nonsense.
Yeah.
And of course, they're coming for the libertarians right now.
Right.
And that we better be alarmed with.
Well, look what they did to Senator Scott when he doesn't fit the stereotypes of what African Americans should be like politically. You know,
yeah,
it's a disaster. Well, this is a double duty for Target Liberty today. We gave Bob double attention, but he did have a couple of great things, and we talked about the earlier one. But let's put up this next clip. This is very important, I think, very important to consider. Profits explode at Pfizer due to COVID-19 vaccine. And Bob says, thank you, fear-mongering Donald Trump warp speed government paid for vaccines. Pfizer reports that its revenue has soared 45% compared to the same period last year. That would be the first quarter of last year, an increase of $4.6 billion in profit in just the first quarter of the year. These vaccines are paying off handsomely to Big Pharma.
And we have to protect free enterprise and capitalism and all those investors that put money in there, which is a total farce because people did put money in there and they made a correct investment decision because they knew what would happen.
Guaranteed.
They knew what was coming. But I just jotted down a few things that people should consider on this. The Pfizer profits, first thing is I can just about guarantee that they get money for R&D, from the other taxpayers that didn't make any profits on it. And also, these vaccines are pretty dangerous, and if you don't give them protection of liability, they might not work real hard to have this program, and maybe they wouldn't. Maybe that's why you have liability law, availability in the marketplace. And then also, all this stuff on what to do and the excitement and the extremism and getting this virus and rushing it through, all based on fraudulent tests.
Yeah.
And we did this the other day,
yesterday. Yeah.
And there's so many people, more mainstream now are saying, the test isn't any good. Even the CDC, when it's to their nature, they say, these tests aren't any good because we want to prove the vaccines work. So, this sort of thing. And also, then when it comes along, and the Marines and a few other people who are respected say, hey, no, I'm a tough Marine, but I'm not taking that stuff.
Yeah.
And they rebel. So and the government says, we're not going to force you to do it. But then they start to propagandize, and they haven't yet threatened. But it could come to that if you don't have a vaccine, you might not ever be able to join in the military.
Yeah.
That's possible. But now they leave it to the corporations. They put the pressure, the economic pressures on the corporations who are buddies of the government and the Federal Reserve. And they say, you have to do this because if not, you're going to lose your job and you're going to lose your business and all of that. So they go out there and then they propagandize. Somebody was making fun last night. I saw an ad by President Obama.
Uh-huh.
And He gave this very, very sincere reason why we had to participate. Patriotism to go in there and save the world and don't be selfish. You just want to protect yourself. Well, how many times have you said it and I have said it? Well, okay, if they have evidence that they have immunity and they've taken the vaccine, well, why do we have to go through all this? Yeah. Why are you still quarantining people? So I think common sense is breaking through. Of course, it's noticeable because it's rather scarce, but when we see it, we'd like to talk about it.
Well, the military, it's not that long ago. Their memories, they still have memories of the disastrous anthrax vaccine that got so many of these guys and gals sick. So they're rightly hesitant. While it remains an emergency use of the vaccine, they won't be forced to take it legally. They can't be. But as soon as it gets approved, it's possible. My last thing I'm going to go in this, I think this is from Target Liberty itself, too. This is the propaganda. Speaking of propaganda, put up this last clip. This is someone on Twitter was linked to. NBC said the Biden administration is spending $3 billion on vaccine hesitancy education and to combat vaccine disinformation. Where in the history of mankind did the government need to force you or to trick you or to steal your money to convince you to do something that would save your own life, you know?
And this is upside down. They're supposed to be protecting our right to speak out and have speak controversially. The First Amendment is not our right to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
It's our right to discuss controversial issues and to criticize our government.
Yeah.
So they turn it on its head and say, we're going to spend this money preventing you from doing
speaking.
This. And that, of course, is we write laws that protect whistleblowers, and we use other laws to put them in prison.
Yeah.
And really severe punishment for the people who want to tell us the truth. That's the whole issue. We're looking for the truth, and I think a lot of people are also looking for the truth.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say my absolute last word is please remember to subscribe to this channel if you're not subscribed. Hit notifications. If you hit like, it only takes a half a second. That helps the algorithms. That helps the show get out more. So there are little things you can do to help us that really don't take any time at all. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org also and subscribe to updates there from the Ron Paul Institute. And thank you for watching the program, Dr. Paul.
Very, very good. And I want to thank our viewers once again for tuning in. And for us, this is a very serious matter dealing with this past year, dealing with medical problems and medical distortions, the government at its worst almost, and all that's going on. People have, compared what happened this past year or so as like a war, and therefore you should roll over and be patriotic and do whatever the government tells you. Well, it's not quite like World War II, except it's doing something that happens in all wars, even all the way back to the Civil War, is that people who are in disagreement can go to jail for speaking out. And that's what's happening now. And that to me is so serious, because there are some good people out there. There are a lot of doctors there. And we've already mentioned on the show today about people who are just in a terrible position. And they are said that if you don't do what we tell you and you don't take your vaccination, you're going to lose your job and your kids are going to starve. You will take the vaccination. And I've had some people really, really torn with this because they realize the terrible choice that they have to have. Of course, if we had a free society and we had a limited government there designed for that purpose of protecting liberty, it wouldn't be a problem. Everybody would be able to be pro-choice, and that's what we would like. That's what society is all about in a free society. You are pro-choice because every single thing we do is a choice between A and B, and you get to make it. And now, though, if you don't make the right choice, then you are punished for this. And they claim that you are prejudiced and bigotist and everything else if you don't make the choice that the establishment. And they use those terms. You know, you're unpatriotic if you don't take the shot. And yet, there's no medical evidence that all of a sudden, you know, if the people who don't take the shot are going to spread the disease. If the lockdown, if the mask and the shots and all this is so wonderful, why would you even bother with somebody else who wants to take the risk? It's just so foolish. Why people buy into this stuff, I don't know why, but it's not that complicated. People have to have a better understanding and more confidence in what a free society is all about, and that if we permit pro-choice in all the things that we do, as long as we commit no harm, no violence, and no damage to property, you know, the world would be a much more peaceful place. And that is our goal. Our goal is to promote peace and prosperity, and I believe that can be done by rejecting the whole notion that governments and other people should ever use force to have their way. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.